Hello, Wisdom Land. Today we are going to explore the far reaches of the mind-brain potential. My guest is Neil Slade, a musician and author of some fascinating books, The Complete Brain Book and Music Set, Brain Magic, The Frontal Lobe Supercharge Book, The Self-Transcendence Workbook. Welcome, Neil.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It is a pleasure to be with you. You combine in your work an appreciation for music and an appreciation for self-awareness of the brain and its various organs and their potentials.
Yes.
And
this is true.
And it's a fascinating subject. It's a unique approach, and it's based on the work of Mr. T.D. A. Lingo, who was your teacher.
Yes, this is correct. The work that I do, or the life that I lead, actually, I mean, is a strange conglomeration of widely divergent fields. I studied with and assisted brain researcher Lingo for 11 years, but prior to that, I had been studying music and obtained a degree in music education and taught in the public schools. And so I'm coming at things, most people would think, from way on the left side of the brain with Lingo and his academic work and brain work. And
well,
then
he was no conventional brain researcher, though. He himself was a pretty far-out guy.
This is true. You have to explain, you know, where he's coming from as well.
Yeah.
He was certainly a... I even call him a renegade scientist.
He was the first person I can recall who introduced me to the term brain orgasm.
Yes, a fairly popular subject when we talk about brain. And that has to do with accessing the pleasure responses in the brain. You know, people think that sex is... Most people, when you ask them where they feel sex, they will point down. But actually, the pleasure that one obtains with intimate physical contact is really something that is happening inside the brain.
Now, let me interrupt you, Neil,
yeah.
Because it is now 9 minutes after nine where you are.
That's right. It's 9:09 on 9999, and... I can't say that I'm at 9,000 feet elevation, but that's a lot of nine. So if you're listening, maybe you can make a little toast right now and let a little positive brain energy flow into your frontal lobes while you contemplate all the nines. Nines mean that we're ready for a new beginning. And I think that's very true on very many fronts right now at this point in history and on the calendar and so forth. So
today,
here's a toast to the nines.
It's a unique moment in the history of the universe.
What I mentioned to someone the other day, and we were talking about self-improvement and the study of the human brain, and I think it came up because I mentioned the brain revolution. Someone had said to me what exactly was the brain revolution, and they thought, well, it might have had a bit of a negative connotation, revolution meaning a big overthrow of something. But I pointed out to them that in just this past 2 years, since the work of Lingo has been, you know, his take on the human brain has been put out there via the media and through Art Bell's show and through the newspapers and so on.
Now, Lingo, is he still alive?
No, he died in 1993,
mm-hmm.
And this was after 35 years on his 300-acre brain research and behavior facility. And he died, as it turned out, of a heart defect that he was not even aware of. And upon the autopsy, they found out what the cause of death was. But what I had mentioned to my friend was that this is really the first time that we know of in recorded civilization or history that we suddenly have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and probably millions of people who now are starting to understand how their own human brain works. And this is going, I believe, to have monumental effects on society as a whole. We've always had pockets of people in academia and medical establishments. You know, you have a neuroscientist here and you have people in medical school, and they've been very small numbers of people who have even given any thought whatsoever as to how their brain is operating. And suddenly, just since 1997, we now have millions of people via the information that they've now picked up on radio broadcasts and in books. We have all these numbers of people who are giving thought to directing the energy inside their cranium and working with and changing how their brain works by understanding the actual physical mechanisms and psychological mechanisms within the brain. We've taken the study out of religious study. In other words, many people, of course, may think about how their mind works without really knowing what the physical mechanisms are. And now we have people who are starting to understand how the brain actually works for the first time, millions of people. And this is what I talk about when I speak of the brain revolution. And I really believe the impact of some knowledge of brain basics will be tremendous in the effects on the society.
Well, the brain is a very complex organ. It has many parts, and these parts have different functions, but in a way, they're invisible to us. We can see our hands and our fingers and our nose and our ears, but we don't get to see all of the various sub-organs within the brain.
Yes, and that's the key reason why people have not thought about it, because they can't see it. But the brain is the most important thing that you have, period. It's more important than how much money you have in the bank. It's more important than any other part of your body, because we know, you know, we can replace limbs, and we can have an entire body that through disease or through accident doesn't work at all or the way it should work. We can replace the heart with an artificial heart, or we can have a lung machine or a kidney machine. You can change all of these things in your body, and you're still you. You're still pretty much the same core person, because the brain is the same. But we can't take out a brain. We can't have much damage to the brain without significantly changing our own perception of who we are, as well as how we perceive the rest of the world. So it's quite a I'm trying to think of the word. It's funny that it is the most important thing that we have, and yet it's the last thing that we've come around to really try to understand.
Well, as we continue our conversation these 2 hours, Neil, we'll talk quite a bit about some of the specifics of how the brain functions, and maybe a good thing to return to when we come back from our break will be the question of the orgasm and the pleasure principle.
Okay.
We'll be back after these messages from Wisdom Radio. Welcome back to Virtual You. I'm your host, Jeffrey Mishlove, and my guest today is musician and author and brain explorer, Neil Slade. If you'd like to speak with us directly, you can do so by phoning Wisdom Radio's toll-free number, 800-655-2112, or you can send us email by addressing it to virtual@williamjames.com. William James. is all one word. So, Neil, let's talk about the various functions of the brain and how we can learn how to activate our brain's fullest potential and, okay, and what that can lead to.
Yes. What it can lead to is a dramatic change in one's life experience. And I say this because, first of all, my own personal experience and how my life changed as I learned to do brain self-control, and also from the literally thousands of responses that I get from people, from email and letters and phone calls, who, after learning just a few basic brain facts, a few basic brain exercises, suddenly find themselves experiencing all kinds of new things, elimination of negative emotions, elimination of problems, and find themselves in a new universe, as it were.
Mm.
The first thing one has to do, of course, is learn how the brain is put together. And once you learn how it's put together, then you can operate it better. It's sort of like if you were to learn how to drive a car, you'd have to know where the key fits. You'd have to know where you put the gasoline. You'd have to know if it's making a certain sound, what that means. And once you know some basic operation things about your car, then you can drive it to wherever you want to go. In the same way, once you learn a few things about how your brain operates, then you can drive it wherever you want to go. So normally I start out with people telling them about the basic construction of the human brain and what certain areas of the brain do. Shall I do that?
A good idea, because, my first thought is, gee, the brain is so complex, even scientists who study it their whole lives are just scratching the surface.
Yes, this is true. In the same way, your car, and we'll stick with that analogy, is a very complicated piece of machinery. Very few of us could take a car completely apart and reassemble it and have it work. In the same way, however, you don't have to be an auto mechanic to drive your car to the next city or downtown or up the mountains. You just have to know a few basic things to run your car. And if you've got a good car, like a Honda or a good Ford that's been put together well, then you shouldn't have to do tons of maintenance. You just need to know the basic things. So the brain is the same way. If you know a few basic facts, then you can get where you want to go in this life. If you know nothing about how it works, it's hit and miss. You're going to have some problems. So we're not talking about knowing this, all of us don't have to have the same amount of knowledge as a neurosurgeon or a psychiatrist. We just need to know a few basic things, and then we'll have a much better experience operating our brain.
Well, what would you say are the primary things we need to know?
Dr. Paul McLean established a way of looking at the brain that most everyone has accepted now. And Dr. Paul McLean used to work at NIMH, N-I-M-H, and then set up his own laboratory of brain evolution and behavior many years ago.
That's the National Institutes of Mental Health.
Yes, that's where he began his
work. Run by the federal government,
Yes, that's where he began his work, and then he went off on his own, setting up his own institute. He realized that the brain, he came up with the term triune brain.
Mm-hmm.
He said the human brain was really three brains in one. Triune, three. One, three brains in one. And if we look at the human brain, we can actually see three distinct layers of organization in the brain. And I like to use the analogy of an apple if people need some way to visualize these three layers. The most inner part of the brain is called the reptile brain, and it's like the seeds of the apple, hard, small, kind of the deepest layer of the brain. And in the human brain, this reptile brain, or R complex, is the end of the spinal cord. It's where our brain computes all our basic survival mechanisms. This part of the brain, deep inside the brain, regulates heartbeat, breathing, fight or flight response, reproductive response, things that even if the rest of our brain was damaged, this part of our brain would keep us going from day to day. The reptile brain computes counterattack. I'm trying to think of the word now. Self-defense and counterattack types of behaviors. Very automatic, reactive. And if you look at this part of the brain, it's very similar in structure to the brains of reptiles, and that's where it got its name from. So it allows us to exist on the same level as a snake or a turtle. It has no emotions. This part of our brain computes no emotions. Just like a cold-blooded reptile. So that's the deepest part of our brain.
It has to do, as I understand it, with our sense of vigilance.
Well, define vigilance. What do you mean by
Being alert.
Being alert, yes. There's a part of the brain called the reticular activating formation.
Yes.
And when there are certain chemical processes that happen in that part of the brain, and when the RAF is doing one thing, then we are either asleep or in a coma. Then in the morning when you wake up, this part of the brain becomes active, and then consciousness then flows in a different way within the brain, and then you are awake and you are aware of your environment. And then when it clicks off again, you are no longer aware of your environment and you are again asleep.
And that's so, part of the reptilian brain, is it not?
That is, yes. This is the reticular activating formation is indeed one part of the reptile brain. Lots of people ask me what the medulla oblongata is, and that's part of that part of the brain as well. I think people just like the sound of medulla oblongata, so they ask me about that.
Well, as a musician, it sounds like it has potential to be a song.
Could be, you know. I think maybe I should do a composition entitled that.
Medulla oblongata, I can see it as a whole album.
So that's the reptile brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of the brain is always on. If that part of the brain shuts down, then you keel over and you're dead. You've got to have something regulating this basic survival, your heart and your breathing at all times. So we never shut. Our goal is not to shut off the reptile brain. We want to add on additional activity beyond this. So that's like the seeds of an apple. Now around the seeds is this tough core extending out. And this we call the mammal brain inside the brain. It also goes by the name of the limbic system. Now, animals like dogs and cats have a reptile brain core, but they also have this limbic system around it. And the limbic system, or the mammal brain, adds on basic emotions, and it adds on basic social behaviors. Now, we know dogs and cats can play. Play behavior is computed in the mammal brain. And in our human brain, our play behavior is computed by inside this mammal brain as well, the basic social types of behaviors. The mammal brain also adds on emotions when we feel. Scientists know this because they can stimulate with either chemicals or electric probes. They can stimulate this part of the brain, and it'll automatically activate emotional responses. And, you know, we can look at animals with less developed brains than humans and really understand what's going on in the mammal brain. And that's where our amygdala click switch is, and we'll get to that.
The amygdala click switch. We're getting closer to the idea of the brain orgasm, I bet.
We slowly are working towards
it. Yes, we're working towards a climax, I guess. Well, we're still just beginning, and we'll be back again after these messages from Wisdom Radio. Welcome back once again to Virtual You. I'm your host, Jeffrey Mishlove, and my guest, Neil Slade, musician and author, is getting closer and closer to describing to us the process of a brain orgasm.
You know, let's talk a little, before I go on in terms of brain function,
mm-hmm.
let's talk just a little bit about what that is and what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Inside the brain, we have neural pathways and receptors that give us pleasure. And normally, during intimate physical contact, we have a certain level of pleasure that we are used to experiencing.